Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter number 5 this evening. Read verses 3 through verse 10 responsively. 1 Timothy, chapter number 5. I'll read verse number 3. You'll join me on verse number 4 all the way through verse number 10. 1 Timothy, chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than the infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for what's been done here today already. Lord, thank you for those that have been saved. Lord, thank you those that have joined the church. Lord, thank you those that have been encouraged. Lord, the truth that we heard this morning was great and we needed it. But tonight, Lord, there's another truth for this hour that we need. We need to hear from you afresh and anew this evening. Lord, please tonight, would you fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. May we be yielded as we listen. Speak to our hearts. Teach us how we can better serve you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Tonight, I'm going to teach probably more than preach. But we at our church have a rare opportunity to live 1 Timothy chapter 5. It is the first for a church that's just 8 years old, but it won't be the last, I'm sure. And it's sad. I look back, it's been probably pretty close to 20 years or more that I've heard anybody preach on this topic. It's not said much, but we're going to talk tonight about caring for a widow indeed. Caring for a widow indeed. Of course, God tells us exactly what a widow indeed is, and specifically how we're to care for her. God has given us Miss Wally, and she's ours. Amen? And I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for Brother Fred. He was my buddy. I love Brother Fred and Miss Wally. I remember the first day she came into our church down at the old IRS building. She was scared to death. She saw me come unscrewed one day, and she thought, what happened to him? Somebody brought her to my office, and she said, well, I have some questions. I said, good, before you start, let me tell you something. I could tell she was nervous. I don't know why, but I said, you can't ask me a question I'll get upset about. She said, really? I said, really? She said, well, we'll see. I've been kicked out of the priest's office, and I've been kicked out of this and that. She said, nobody's ever been able to answer questions. I said, what you got? She pulled out a piece of paper, and she had a list. We started going down that list. And the more she asked, the more I answered. And she was like, you really don't get upset. I said, why should I? And great friendship started that day. And yet, she and Fred had no children. Maybe we're glad for that. Maybe Fred should have never had children. One of those in the world is all the world could handle. But Grace Baptist Church is Miss Wally's family. She's definitely the sweetheart of the church. Amen? And I want to show you biblically what the Bible says that we should do for widows and widows indeed. Now, men, don't get upset. God didn't say what to do with widowers. Say why? Because generally a man dies before his wife. Secondly, you say why? Because she killed him. No, but secondly, usually us men can handle it a little bit better. But honestly, the average marriage, a wife will outlast a man by 8 to 10 years. Generally is true. So it's our job to provide for our families after we're not here. In Fred and Wally's case, Fred didn't get saved till the last few years of his life. So maybe things just don't work out exactly right, that you didn't grow up knowing all these things. Great, no problem. But God gives us four things here about a widow indeed, and I want to teach it to you tonight. Because though we have Miss Wally, she won't be the last, amen? And we'll have this opportunity more and more in days to come. But I want you to see what the Bible has to say about a widow indeed. First of all, we see in verse number 9, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man." That means this: a widow indeed has to be at least 60 years old. All right, at 80 is 20. 3 times 20 is 60, all right? I'm not going to let you ask Miss Wally how old she is, but she's older than 60. Right, Miss Wally? Not many years past that. All right. She's definitely qualifies for that. That means this: most ladies over 60 years old don't remarry. It's not always true, but in general, that's a general statement. It doesn't mean it's sinful for somebody to do so. But in general, by the time you hit 60, you don't want to get married. All right? It's just the way it works. Now, God says a widow indeed must not be one who wants to get married again. In other words, it's not somebody that's going to go out and play the field and find another one. Got to be through that part of wanting to go through all of that. And by the way, it's not sinful to marry after your spouse passes. I've seen weddings done for folks done in their 80s. That's fine. I'm not saying that I would want to do that. I have no desire for that. I plan on dying with my wife at the same time, or we're going up in the rapture together. Amen? That's my plan. Does it going to work that way? I don't know. But it's not sinful. But God wants the church to care for those that aren't going to be married again. Does that make sense? So that's what a widow indeed is. And I've talked to Wally. She said she doesn't plan on dating anytime soon, even though she might dance on the table on Sunday nights. All right? So, the first requirement, though, is her age. May I say this? I know ladies who have been widowed in their 20s. I was at the hospital one day, and a young man was in a car accident. I met his wife at the hospital, and she was 20 years old. They had been married for about 3 months. I met her at the hospital, and I was there when the doctor came out, and he asked me to come aside, and he said, "You're going to have to tell her I lost her husband. He's dead." I said, "How come you're not going to tell him?" He said, "I'm not good at that. That's your job." I thought, I'm not the one that couldn't bring him back. You are. But I went out, and I had to sit down in the waiting room and tell that little 20-year-old young lady that she was a widow. I listened to her cry, listened to her weep, watched her look at her diamond ring and her wedding band. She said, "I didn't think I'd be a widow at 20, Brother Bush." I said, "I didn't either, but this is where you're at." And by the way, she hung in there. She did well. She's remarried. I've seen widows with children. I had a preacher friend, Jeff Jones, was going to go to Columbia, South Carolina and start a church. Got there and ended up with leukemia and in the hospital. I watched that young man with his wife and two or three kids start his church in the hospital with doctors and nurses and patients on the floor. Spent 2.5 months in the hospital preaching every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night from a hospital bed. He got better, started his church, got things going a little bit, got leukemia the second time. Watched him die. I was with him just a day or so before he passed. Had to walk into a special unit there in Columbia at the hospital, and you had to walk in and a machine cleaned your arms and your hands. Then they gloved you up, and then you gowned up and faced up, and then they put more gloves on you just to go in and see him. Honestly, it's one of the most ghastly sights I had ever seen. His skin was the color of the outside of an avocado. I was like, he was pretty rough. I remember getting the news that he had passed and went up and took part in his funeral. Got back to the house after the funeral, was sitting there, and his son, little David, was playing. Couldn't have been more than about 3 or 4 years old. We were talking to the wife, and he's playing, and she's trying to get him to calm down. I said, it's okay. And I was running trucks and cars with him for a second. He came over and sat down on my lap and said, Brother Bush, my daddy is not going to be able to come back. He's in heaven. Would you be my daddy today? My wife had to turn her head. She was sobbing. I looked at him and said, Buddy, I'll sit on the floor and play with you today, but I can't replace your daddy. Okay, let's play. So we played trucks all over the place. I've been there. I've watched many a young lady lose their husband and have a couple children with them. That doesn't mean God doesn't care for you too, but you have a lot of life yet to live, and a lot of strength by which to live. A widow indeed, somebody that's in their 60s or 70s or 80s, they're not as strong as they were when they were in their 20s and 30s. They don't have that confidence in life that they need. So that's why God put an age restriction there. Number two, I love this. God says we're to honor her because she has no family. Look at verse number 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Do you remember the verse in Ephesians chapter 6? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse number 2, though, says, honor thy father and thy mother. There's a difference between obeying and honoring. Obeying means you're a child at home under the authority of your parents. Brother Josh, if you'll stand for a minute. Of course, Brother Josh is my son. You're 29. Good night. You're going to be 30 years old next year. You're going to be an old man. You're going to start turning gray if there's any left to turn. Now, wait a minute. Brother Josh is my son, but he doesn't have to obey me anymore. He's a grown man. But the honoring comes after you leave home. Obeying is to the child at home. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then he says, honor thy father and thy mother. Notice, parents, then father and mother independently. That's to somebody who is grown. And honoring doesn't mean obedience. You can have a seat. Brother Josh doesn't have to obey me. I don't have to obey my dad. But wait a minute, I should honor him. The word honor is, it means to prize, to revere, or to place high value on. We ought to honor our parents by putting a reverence, and I'm not talking about, oh, holy father. That's not what we're talking about. But revere means deep love for, deep appreciation for, high value. I promise you, my dad knows I honor him. I love him. He's my dad. Now, we pick on each other a good bit. Say, why? Because that's how we express it. But I promise you one thing, I'll honor him. And the Bible says Miss Wally, because she has no children, doesn't have anybody to honor her. So guess what? We just got elected to honor her. We're supposed to prize her. We're supposed to revere her, to love her, to place a high value on. When Brother Fred had to be moved to hospice, I knew Miss Wally was tired, wore out. She was run down. She didn't know it. She was on autopilot. I said, Miss Wally, you're going to grab your clothes and you're going to come to my house with my wife and I, and you're going to stay with us for a little while. She's still there. Say why? Because she's going to be there till we get everything situated and figured out and what's best for her. Amen. Say why? A widow indeed, we're supposed to place high value on her. She's to have that honor that she deserves. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. Let me take a moment and turn there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 29, the Bible says this. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Did you know we're supposed to nourish her and cherish her? We're supposed to make sure she's healthy, spiritually, physically. We're supposed to cherish her. That means love. We're to love on her as though she's our family. She doesn't have a husband left to cherish her anymore. So that's our job. She does have church family that can honor her. She does have church family who can love her. She does have church family who can cherish her because she deserves it. In other words, we're supposed to treat her like a mom or a grandma, for those of you young enough, or for those of you that are a little bit more seasoned, like a sister. That means she could use some phone calls. She could use a girl's day out or whatever. I don't know what people do at that age. I'm too busy to know. But I know this. I've enjoyed having her. I've enjoyed her. Now, wait a minute. My mom is still being cared for. Dad's still able to take care of her. But I'll promise you this. I'm taking care of Miss Wally like I would my mom. Say why? Because that's what God said to do. She doesn't have children to take care of her. She doesn't have family to take care of her. Well, yes, she does. She has Grace Baptist family. May I say this? Do me a favor, not for my sake, for your family's sake. Make sure you include her from time to time. Christmas time, Thanksgiving, whatever, birthdays. Invite her to go out from time to time or whatever. Just do something with her. Say why? Because she gets lonely too. Now, she's got me. That's all she needs. But actually, she has my wife. That's all she needs. Trust me. Just from time to time, do something nice for her. I'm not talking about something expensive. I'm not saying you got to sacrifice everything to do something for her. But every once in a while in your family, think about her and tell her you prayed for her or something. That's all that it takes. Thirdly, I love this. A widow indeed is someone who is, the Bible uses the term, desolate. Look at verse number 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The word desolate doesn't mean in the poorhouse. But it means kind of unable to care for things herself. Let me explain a few things here. Miss Wally doesn't have a whole lot to live on. She worked for 50 years as a nurse, and right before retirement, City Hospital went bankrupt and took all her her retirement with them. A lot of folks got hurt in that. She's one of them. She'd never tell you that, and I'd probably get in trouble for saying it. But it's true. It's criminal. Nothing anybody can do. And then she had just a few tens of thousands saved up, and the person that was helping her really didn't help much. And what a mess. It's a good thing I'm a Christian man, or I'd have to buy a few more bullets. Trust me. It is criminal how people take advantage of people that don't know things, especially older folks. That's why we've cleaned, those of you that helped at the house, we got it all cleaned up and cleared out. We're getting it fixed up and getting ready to sell it for her. She still owes money on the house, but if we sell it and take the monies that she does have, we can reinvest everything, and with her Social Security, we should be able to make it pretty well. It's going to take a little bit of finagling, a little bit of wisdom here and there, but we're getting it. And by the way, I'm helping her with that. Let me say very loudly right now, this preacher and my wife are getting nothing from Miss Wally, and I will not take anything from her while she's alive or when she passes, just so you know. I want nothing from her. I just want to take care of her. Say, well, she paying you rent? No. Not going to. Say, why? Because it's my obligation to take care of her, according to Scripture. And I'm not going to do that. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Now, we could all help out where we can. Many of you are volunteering some free labor to help get the house red up. Brother Barnes put new lights throughout the entire house this last weekend there. Some of the money that you all gave her for buying stuff in our house, we're putting it right back into the house to get it modernized and fixed up. We've had every light in the house has been replaced. We got the wallpaper torn off in the kitchen. As soon as Brother Bob's back on his feet, he had surgery last week, and as soon as he's back on his feet, he's going to paint the entire inside of the house, floor to ceiling, including the ceilings. Brother Josh is building, and my dad are building some steps out front in the back. I've got the house wash in my office right now. As soon as I get back, I'm going to wash the outside of the house for her, and we're just getting it ready to sell. Many of you put a lot of labor into it to get it cleaned out and fixed up and cutting trees and everything. And Miss Wally said just the other day, she said, oh, for the last 5 years, we haven't been able to take care of this place. It was too much. Fred was too stubborn to listen to anybody. And Miss Wally was too stubborn to give up. But we can all help out where we can. I'm not asking you to take your paycheck and give to Miss Wally. She's not destitute to where she can't find another meal. She can eat at my house, trust me. But she has nobody else for support and for security but us. I asked her. I said, Miss Wally, I didn't know how to ask it, but we were having a good conversation. I said, if you didn't have the church, what would you have done? She said, I don't even know. Boy, my heart broke. My heart just broke. I can't imagine that feeling. Well, Miss Wally, you're cared for. I told you that from before, and we're going to live it, amen? She needs our love as much as she needs our help. Now, if there's something you can do to help, great, no problem. But she just needs our support. All right, you don't need to keep asking her how she's doing. You don't need to keep asking, you know, do you have enough of this? Yeah, if you want to help her, you can help her. You know, if you've got an extra million or so sitting around you, I'm sure she'd take it. Not sure where she'd take it, but she's going to take it. I'm just teasing, but she's going to be okay. But it's going to take some time to get it there. My wife's had to calm me down a few times because I was ready to reach through a phone and grab somebody's throat and choke them to death a couple times. I've got very little use for people that take advantage of senior citizens. That irks the fire out of me. Destitute, that word desolate, it literally means somebody doesn't have security. We'll be her security, amen? We're going out of town for a few days, so Chris Cave's going to take care of Miss Wally this week. I'm not sure that's a good combination. Brother Josh, make sure they don't dance on tables, please, all right? It could be, yeah, you'll be up there with them, I'm sure, doing the can-can or something or other. Oh, my soul. But she needs our love and our support. Can you imagine, I don't mean to say this the wrong way, but not having anybody in life? That's where she's at. But she does have somebody. She's got Grace Baptist Church family. Number four, we're supposed to honor her good works. Look at verse number 10. The Bible talks about well reported of for good works. By the way, Miss Wally was a nurse for 50 years. You talk about somebody that's done some good works. That lady's done it. She's known. There's still people over at that hospital. You say her name and their heads jerk a little bit. She's loved there. Good night. I've spent too many hours at that hospital with you. And the nurses come in. Hey, Wally. And she's, oh, I worked with them here. I worked with them here. I trained them here. She knows them all. And I love it. If you doubt how good of a lady she was, look how she cared for Fred these last years. Fred wasn't the easiest person to be with. If you didn't know him, you have no idea what I'm saying right there. But just trust me. When he was doing well, he wasn't easy to be with. When he's sick, it was worse. You know how we men are. We're a bunch of big babies. He was a very large big baby. Baby Huey, as I would call him. She cared for her family years and years ago, cared for a dying mom, I believe your uncle, and some others. I watched that lady 18, 19 hours a day, 20 hours a day, run herself in the ground taking care of Fred. Marcia was at her house on the Tuesday before we took Fred to the hospice till about 2 or 3 in the morning, I think, 2:30 in the morning. About 4 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang, and I, what you need, Miss Wally? She said, he's trying to get out of bed. I can't handle him. I can't even get him his medicine, because if I leave his side, he's going to get up. Fred had no business getting up. Physically, he couldn't have. If he did, he was going to fall on the floor, and it was going to get ugly real fast. I said, I'll be right there. I jumped up and got ready and ran out the door. I was at her house by about 20 after 4, I think. I walked in the room and I said, Fred, calm down. He stopped. And as only Wally could do, how'd you do that? I said, go get his medicine. I started talking to Fred, trying to calm him down a little bit. She walks over at the medicine. She says, God bless you. How did you do that? I said, he knows my voice. He knows I'm not playing games. We spent a little bit of time together, and I left and came back to the house and got ready for the day for the office here, and came, got things started, and Brother Josh and I left about 8:30, 8:45, and ran back over to her house. And by that time, the hospice nurse was there. And Fred was being Fred, trying to get up again. He was getting pretty agitated. And I didn't do anything. I just walked through the door and said, Miss Wally, we're here. He heard my voice, and he went, again. And the hospice nurse goes, I thought, that's the second time today I've gotten that look. Second time in just a few hours, as a matter of fact. but I watched her care for him clear up to about 18 hours before he went to heaven. She promised him he'd never have to go back to the hospital. He didn't. You don't understand. She's battled cancer twice. She's a pretty tough little lady. Don't let that cute little smile fool you. Do you remember who her husband was? She put up with him, all right? She, as a nurse, has done the nastiest of jobs, seen the roughest of things with a smile. I remember the day we were out cutting wood out there and somebody dropped a tree limb on my head. It was about that big around, and they cut it off. It was about 10 foot long, and boom, pile drove. I was in the back of a pickup truck. Thing came down, whacked me on top of the head, and I knew it got me good. I could feel the blood running. So I went. They helped me get over to the front porch, and I said, just get Wally. My head was going. I said, just get Wally. So they ran and got her. I said, Wally, I have a concussion. I got hit in the head with a tree. I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. I was self-diagnosing in front of her, and she was like, okay. I said, I only need you to answer one question. Do I need stitches or not? So she got a wet paper towel, and she, nah, it's not that bad. I said, good. It's all I need to know. Somebody get me my keys. I'm driving home. She didn't like that too well. So I think one of the men drove me home. I think Joe Heaney drove me home that day. So I called my wife. I said, honey, I'm fine. I said, they dropped a tree limb on my head. I got a concussion and split my head, but don't need stitches. I'm all right. She was out doing something or other, shopping or something. I said, I'll be home when you get there. They're driving me home. No problem. It's not my first rodeo, you know. Poor Wally. She's out there. She's wanting to make sure I'm okay. Now, I said, Wally, I have a concussion. I'm not dumb. She said, he's fine. But yet that nurse kicked in on her real quick. Here's a lady who, she'd do anything for anybody if it was physically possible. She's a good lady. She's a person of good works. No, she's not perfect. But she's a widow indeed. In Grace Baptist Church, we get to take care of a widow indeed. We get to live 1 Timothy 5. Not a lot of people do it. Can I tell you something? It's fun. Adopt a mama. Adopt a grandma. Adopt a sister. Whatever you want to call it, that's what a widow indeed is. It's just us pulling together as a church family to take care of somebody that we are their family for. God's given us a sweet lady, Wally Skaggs, a widow indeed. By the way, God didn't ask us. He told us. He commanded us. It's not something that he said, just in case you want to do it, this would be fun. He said, no, do this. So we'll do that. I'd like to obey God. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking you to give her money. I'm asking you, let's just take care of her the way God said we should take care of her. And by the way, someday there'll be more. Someday it might even be you. We don't know. So how about we learn to treat others the way we'd like to be treated if it was our time? I couldn't be with my grandparents much of the last part of their life. I was in different parts of the country, and three of my grandparents spent time in nursing homes. But I preached in hundreds and hundreds of nursing homes all over this country. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I'd stand up and say, I can't be with my grandma or my grandpa today, but I can be to you what I'd like to be to my grandma and grandpa. And I would love on those people as though my grandparents were sitting in that room. Say why? Because I was hoping somebody would go to Ohio and go to a room for a lonely old lady or a lonely old couple and love on them a while. And that's what God's talking about here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a command that we all ought to take seriously. And it's something we get to do. I'm not going to ask you to commit to anything, but maybe the Lord's touched your heart about something. Maybe you have a strained relationship with a family member of your own that you need to fix.